Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Rico Auto Industries Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Essential Technologies Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Gyanchandani from Essential Technologies. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to Rico Auto Industries Q3 FY22 earnings conference call. From the management, we have Mr. Arvind Kapoor, Chairman, CEO, and Managing Director, Mr. O.P. Agarwal, Chief Advisor, Finance and Accounts, Mr. Surinder Singh, President and CEO, Rakesh Sharma, CFO, Mr. Sandeep Rajpal, Vice President, and Mr. B.M. Jham, Company Secretary. Now, I request Mr. Arvind Kapoor to take us through the key remarks. After that, we can open up the floor for Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. My name is Arvind Kapoor, and I'm sitting in the boardroom along with my colleagues here at Rico. Q3, normally, I think if you look at it every year, it's slower than the rest of the quarters, primarily because in the month of December, most of the companies they take a shutdown. They close the plants for maintenance and hence the productions are normally less. Having said that, we also have the period of Diwali when there's full pressure to increase the production. This year, unfortunately, the pressure was not so much, but nevertheless, I can run you through what happened to Rico vis-a-vis the industry. In the two-wheeler, it was a big challenge. The two-wheeler industry because of the rural areas is not really expected that this particular quarter, the fourth quarter also, they would just be okay. There's no aggression as far as the two-wheeler industry, and this is what we are seeing. The car industry is doing very well. There's a shortage of vehicles at the moment, primarily because the production is not there, and the reason for that is the chip shortage, which we had discussed the last time. I think it's the whole industry knows about it. Because of the chip shortage, the volumes are limited. Maruti is producing less, even the other vehicles, Kia or Hyundai or if you look at Renault-Nissan, they're all producing less. Everybody's hoping that by the month of June, the chip shortage should get okay. This last quarter, the fourth quarter that we're talking of, I would say Maruti is saying that they would be touching about 90% or 95% of the total volume. So are the other car makers also very hopeful that with the additional chips available, they'll be able to sell more. Fortunately for the industry and the car industry, there is a waiting list and there's a even today, the people visiting the showrooms is good and the bookings are also very good. So we are all hoping that once the chip shortage gets over, there is enough pressure in the industry for them to supply. The commercial vehicles, they did better than last year. Now I'll just tell you about the performance. In the two-wheeler, this quarter was negative if you compare it to the previous quarter. Rico grew by 7% with the two-wheeler industry. That is primarily because we took a larger share of the components that we are supplying to the two-wheeler industry. In the four-wheelers, overall, there was a negative growth, but Rico grew by 10% in the car industry. That is again taking a larger share of the components that we are supplying. Also introduction of newer components which were developed last year, which have come into production now. In commercial vehicles, they grew by 16.3%, but Rico grew by 21%. Again, a larger share of components. I must give you one good news that our two-wheeler sale is about 35% of our total production. In the four-wheelers, we are now at about 52%-53%. And the good news is that we have made good inroads in the electric vehicle sector. And earlier we were only 2% of our total sale, and this year we should be more than 15 to 16% of our total sale in the electric vehicle sector. And so the growth is pretty good as far as electric vehicles are concerned, and we are further on the electrification side. We are investing more, we are producing more, and next year again there will be new progress of Toyota and the other vehicles which will also come up. So we are very hopeful that with the chip shortage going away, the demand that is seen in the industry at the moment, if that remains, and I think the car industry will do very well. But the commercial vehicle sector, there's a lot of pressure from Cummins and the other customers that we should supply more aggressively, and we need to ramp up some capacities. And but on the two-wheeler front, we are doubtful whether the growth will actually take place. And we are hoping that the growth takes place. But having said that, we will further increase our share of the business that we are getting in the two-wheeler industry, so that our growth actually happens in the two-wheeler industry. This is as far as the industry, because the exports are pretty good. And the only problem is that the containers are available now, and the rates have also come down. But in U.S., there's a huge congestion at most of the ports. And then in some cases, there's a waiting of almost 15 to 20 days, and to in some cases even more than that. And after you clear it from the customs in the U.S., then transportation by rail has become another pain, and that takes another 15 to 20 days because there's a congestion there also. So these are some of the issues we are battling with, and hence we are shipping more, and our turnover would have actually been more because there's a lot of consignment sale which had to take place because of the containers not reaching on time. We have started shipping more. There would have been a difference of almost about 10 crores in sales that would have also happened in our last quarter. In freight and packaging, despite the costs which had gone up tremendously, and these days, of course, it has come down slightly, we have been able to save on the freight and packaging by reorganizing our packaging and also the stuffing of the containers. The chip shortage remains. That's a big challenge, and we are hoping, and everybody is hoping, that by June it should get over. This quarter is going to be better than the last quarter, and the quarter following that should also be even better. So we are hoping that that would also improve. And in the profitability, there's a lag impact of aluminum to the tune of about 10 to 12 crores, which we will get it only in the next quarter. And but the good news is that from in this particular fourth quarter onwards, that the aluminum seems to be more stable, and hopefully the lag should also diminish now. I think we can open it to questions and answers. That would be better.
Sure. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to participants, please enter star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I had a few questions. The first one would be on the CapEx that we are doing. So I wanted some guidance regarding this, that from where are we funding this CapEx, and until when will this get commissioned? The CapEx of 101 crore that we talked about in the last con call.
No, it was more than 101 crore. It was about 125 crores. That is for the... Now, this is the investment that we are doing in Chennai. This is related to primarily the for electrification again. This is a Toyota project in particular. And we got the order for that. So we had to make a new building and order new equipment, which is coming in. We've done already about, in that particular project, we've already invested about 80 crores. And the balance, the production comes, we are supposed to be ready for production by the month of June. And so, and the ramp up also takes place almost immediately after that. And the ramp up is more than whatever we had factored initially, what we had planned for initially when we got the orders for this particular electrification project. And it has gone up by almost about 25 to 30%. And we are very excited about this project for Toyota. And this is the first time that these particular components would be made for the Indian market and also export back to Japan and also to the other Southeast Asian countries. So we are very excited about it, and Toyota is also involved with us. The investment will continue and on this particular project.
Okay, sir. In fact, we are also excited about this Toyota project. And on this, I wanted to know that will this be EV-centric only? Like we are supplying to the Toyota's EV products only or for the entire Toyota's products?
This is for the hybrid project of Toyota. And
hybrid
Toyota normally makes it in-plant. This is the first time they've actually given it out to a supplier to actually make it. And they would like to make it for this particular model. They would like to make it a center for center of excellence for shipments to Japan and to India, to Southeast Asia, and other places.
Okay. And the
having said that, we are also bidding for the further electrical components of Toyota. That is again going to be a huge project. We are looking forward to do that also.
Okay, so we are highly aggressive on EV. And
there is no choice because we make a lot of engine components, and everybody questions us as to what happens with the engine process that we already have running. And even though we are very confident for the next 15-20 years, next 15 years definitely we'll be still ramping up the capacities, and these components will survive till then. And but having said that, our focus is primarily on the EV components. And having said that, so some of the Maruti components the orders that we had got and whatever we had declared earlier, they have almost doubled now, primarily because of those vehicles which are selling more. And we had been asked to produce 11 to 1400 components a day. Now we are producing almost 2,200, much more than the capacities that we had set up for those components. Same thing goes for another 4-5 components of Maruti.
Okay, so I get that. And the next one would be, I assume that in quarter three, the capacity utilization must have been quite low. So can we expect the capacity utilization for quarter four to be around 80 to 83%? That was the target earlier.
Certainly. See, this is on plant to plant, like a Bawal capacity was fully utilized. That is above 85%. And our capacity in Gurgaon, there were a couple of lines which are not running to full capacity. Otherwise, most of the lines were running at almost about 70% capacity. But now we'll be running at, in some of the lines, we'll be running at almost 110, 120% capacity because we'll have to, of course, supplement and some machines and also increase the productivity in those equipment and also run 24/7 so that we are able to meet the customer requirement. But in Chennai, that was where we were running at almost half the capacity, and with the chip shortage improving, with the chips being available now, we are hoping that we should be able to run that plant also at 80%. And being the last quarter of the year, every customer is also pushing that they have the maximum sales for the year.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I got my answers. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please enter star and one. Please enter star and one to ask a question. We have a follow-up question from Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay, so I'll take two more questions. One is, aren't we too much dependent on Hero MotoCorp? Because I think it is around 30-35% of our revenues. So, won't that impact our profitability at times when the Hero MotoCorp is down individually?
Our dependence on Hero was once almost 80%, and we've been able to bring it down to almost about 34%. We are at about, I think, 30% with the Hero. And
yes.
We are also supplying to Bajaj and others and Honda. So the dependence is there. But having said that, despite Hero's production being almost 20-30% lower than whatever was budgeted, we have actually increased our sales to Hero by taking a larger share and also spreading our wings as far as the components are concerned. But what you are saying is correct. We have been working on this. On any customer, our dependence, we should not be more than 20%. That's what our internal target is.
Okay. And the last one, going back to the CAPEX thing, how is that CAPEX being funded? Are we raising debt or that's from internal accruals?
It's mainly raising debt and also partly internal accruals.
What would be the proportion if you answer this?
Next one.
What would be the proportion of the debt and internal accruals in the CAPEX?
It's about 80-20. Yeah.
80 debt, 20 internal accrual, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please enter star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, please enter star and one on your phone. As there are no further questions.
Aditya, just to add another to Hero Motor, we have no intentions of reducing our business as the Hero. We will continue being aggressive as far as Hero is concerned. But by what we are trying to do is, to reduce our dependence on two-wheelers, we are aggressively following up the electric vehicles and also the four-wheelers, the cars, and also the commercial vehicles.
Thank you. So we have Rishikesh Osa from Robo Capital in the queue. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my question is regarding if you could give a guidance for FY23 regarding our revenues and EBITDA margins.
23?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me be honest with you. We are actually waiting for all the details to come from our customers. And because depending on the availability of the chips, the car people are good, will give us all the details by the end of this month so that we can also plan a budget for next year. But having said that, our growth this year would be over 35%, but next year also we are anticipating about a similar growth to take place. With this also includes the new components that are there, and we are hoping that the bounce back will also take place as far as the industry is concerned. And having said that, the profitability obviously goes up, will go up very well. Primarily because of the utilization of the capacities that the investments that have already been made.
Okay, and in previous calls, you also mentioned about, you know, achieving a double-digit EBITDA margin figure. So any indication by when we can achieve that? I believe Q4 is what you had indicated previously, but any update around it?
The Q4 it solely depends on the commercial the auto industry, how well they perform, because say it is utilization of a capacity, and we were told earlier that by the end of the year the chip shortage should go away. Then we were told it's going to be the first quarter. Then we were told the second quarter. So this is what is happening. But then we are also checking with the chip makers as to what is happening globally, and now we are fairly certain, at least of now, that June would be the month where they would be close to normal. Now they won't be absolutely normal, but they'll be close to normal. And Our EBITDA we will be in the double digits positively next year. This year, you see an improvement taking place, but it all depends on the utilization of capacities. This quarter, hopefully, the capacity utilization will be much better.
Okay.
Our target is also to, for this quarter in particular, our target is to be in double digits.
Okay. So we are targeting a double-digit EBITDA margin for Q4, you are saying?
We are targeting that, yes. Our internal.
Okay.
The total discussions on that and total pressure is on that.
Okay, that's great. Also, the debt that you said for the new CapEx of 125 crores, so that debt will be recognized by when?
Next year. Debt will be recognized by when? Next year? Yes. Yes, because LCs will be over. So debt will.
Next year. Early next year.
Okay. And even the CapEx, even the fixed assets will be going up by the same amount by next year?
No, this time also because the amounts are like.
Yes, partly next year. Yes. Now, see, the goods which are coming by LC from Italy and Japan and all, and those are LCs, and those get some are getting delivered somewhere in March and somewhere in April, somewhere in May. And that's what is happening.
Yes.
But some of the machines that are locally purchased and some have also come from Japan, those have already been installed there.
CWIP is reflecting right now also, so.
Okay, got it.
It is now also, it is reflecting in CWIP, and next year it will get capitalized completely.
Okay, right, right. So by Q1, you will be totally capitalizing it, right?
Yes, it should be by the end of Q1 or middle of Q2. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I got it. And that new capacity, what is the revenue potential there?
The capacity that we are putting, we have, what is it? 170 crores. I think about 170 crores, that's what we had mentioned earlier also.
Okay.
That's what we would be doing. But now, earlier we had mentioned about 140 crores, but then that went, that jumped up in some components, went up by almost 30%. And so that capacity would also be part of that. And having said that, we've also done some capacity expansion for Maruti here in there, so there would be further revenue increase in that also, in the Gurgaon facility as well as the Bawal facility.
Okay. And one last question, sir. Are we currently seeing any, you know, commodity inflation pressures, any container shortage or anything like that?
See, there was never a shortage. There was always a price to pay. So that is what is happening. Now, only thing is that this war in Europe, if that happens, then of course there'll be upheaval as far as the oil and gas is concerned, and there could be possibility of commodity prices actually dropping then. And but we are hoping that that does not take place, and what direction that takes, and what direction the commodities take place after that, that is a big question mark. But the oil prices will certainly shoot up, that's for sure. And but if you look at the aluminum and all, they are more stable now. The steel price is also more stable, and the copper prices have also actually come down. And if you look at the all the exotic metals that we talk of, they've also tapered off, they've also come down. So we see a downward trend as far as these commodities are concerned. And like I mentioned earlier, that there is a lag of almost 10-11 crores on the aluminum front alone, which we need to take from the customers, and which will get paid off in the next quarter. That's the formula that we are working on. And hopefully, this particular fourth quarter, we should not have that issue for the next quarter.
Got it, got it. That was very helpful, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sankar Narayanan from Seraphic Management. Please go ahead.
This is Sankar. Just wanted some clarity, you know. I believe that three, four years back, you know, we used to have gross margins of close to almost 50%. Now it's come down to almost 42%. And I believe that, you know, if we have understood properly, we were told that, you know, as the new programs come in, your EBITDA margins and your gross margins will be higher, which means, you know, from, kind of double-digit margins, you move to kind of mid-teens, and your gross margins will get better, and so your overall mix will get better. But I think, because of the industry, they've gone through, I can understand, what has happened. But, what is the target that we have in terms of going back to the kind of gross margins? Given that we have more electric vehicle components as well now coming into play, and as the new programs come into play, how do you see that gross margin trajectory, going up, and concomitantly, with your capacity utilization increasing, how will it play into the EBITDA margin?
See, the capacity, like you said, capacity utilization is a very, very important part, because we make the investments on trust. To give an example, like Kia was doing exceedingly well, and we were in fact running short of capacity as far as the supplies are concerned. Then all of a sudden, and they kept on telling us that they are not impacted by the chip shortage, primarily because they're getting support from Hyundai as well as Samsung in Japan, which is, in Korea, which is supporting a special supply of chips. And we took it as faith, and we made adjustments in our supplies. And all of a sudden, the crash took place, and there was almost zero pickup for almost 2 months, and for the next 2 months also, I think it's going to be a little slow. So now that utilization has got to come back, because the investment is huge. One machine can cost us almost 25-30 crores, and we've got to keep those machines running. Even though they are flexible, we keep on switching from one component to the other component to whichever other customer has more demand. We do that. But there is only a limit to which we can actually go up doing that. And hopefully, with the chip shortage going away, there will be no excuses by the OEM that there's a shortage and they are unable to produce. And fortunately, there's a tremendous acceptability of the Kia Motors, and we are hopeful that they would be back to normal. Similarly, Renault and Nissan. With Renault Nissan, we've even asked them for a compensation for the capacity underutilization that is taking place. In many cases, what we've done is, rather than making fresh investments for new components, we've diverted those capacities for the newer components. And so we've done it in almost 30% of the cases. And but only thing is that ramp up takes a little while before we can actually come back to those things. So we are doing all the shuffling that is happening. But next year, we'll surprise you. We'll show you very good EBITDA margins, which will please you all.
Sir, I just wanted to understand that, with the commodity price inflation and with the whatever volumes that you have seen, which has come down, the question I want to understand is that, from a 50% kind of gross margins, we are down to 42%. So, I can understand all the capacity utilization, which can bring down our fixed cost remaining high and, bringing down our EBITDA margins. But on the gross margin side, when can we get back to the gross margins that we used to have before?
Particularly because
we are getting into newer programs with, electric vehicle components and stuff like that. So, when will we get back to that 50%, and when will we be able to pass on the price increases? I can understand that 30% is hero, and there's some issue there because the industry itself is degrowing. But if you look at the rest of the business, we should be able to get back to at least 46-47% kind of margin, right? If I'm not mistaken.
You'll see the change coming next year, like I said, and primarily because, and let me give you another news here. Some of the components that we used to, the old components that we used to manufacture, where the price increases were not being given, we've actually pushed the customers to give us the price increases. Those have also started coming in now. And because in those cases, those are components that some are 15, 20 years old, like components which we were producing at ridiculous prices. The commodity was being adjusted, but nothing else was being adjusted. But we've managed to get almost, I think 60-70% of the components, we've got the price hike. So you see that impact actually coming into the next, coming quarters. And next year, with the capacity utilization and also the commodity prices stabilizing, you see the change coming. We are going to bounce back back to whatever we were doing earlier.
Because the problem is, sir, if we make these kind of, substandard margins and the kind of investments that we have made over the last 3-4 years, we are not really getting any kind of returns, on the investment that we have made. We cannot be, you know, even 8-9%, 6-7% margins. You know, if we at least at mid-teens margin for the kind of investment that we have made to, you know, get some reasonable return on our investment.
The survival at 6-7% margin is not there. We've got to be at 12-15% margins. And all the newer components that are coming and all at better EBITDA margins. They are even higher than that. And so we are very clear in our mind as to what we need to do there. And in some of the cases where the prices were not okay, we've actually started demanding from the customers that we need to be compensated. And customers are looking at those things as well.
So, will we see this coming in the first quarter of next year, sir? And on the
we are seeing in the first quarter of next year also.
Okay.
You'll see some improvement even in this quarter.
Okay. And what percentage is our export, sir, today?
Beg your pardon?
Our total import currently?
Beg your pardon? Can you repeat your question, please?
Sir, your voice is
breaking. What percentage is export, sir?
27-30%.
We are about 30%, yes.
Hello?
We are at about 30%. And that does not include the indirect export. When I say indirect export, I ship it to Renault plants in India, fully packed, and they ship it further as such. I'm not talking of the vehicles. I'm talking of the components which are exported as we supply to them to the other countries. So those earlier we were supplying directly. Now they are being supplied through the local OEMs. So, but I'm talking of the direct export. We are at about 30%.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Bhaskar D. He is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hi, Uwe. Sir, the first question is we are supplying for a couple of years. Do we ever see any profits from that client, Renault, Nissan? I think I believe that they are very tough customers, and I never hear that we made any profit from them. It's more of probably adding to our gross revenue, but I never hear from the commentary that we made any money from Renault and Nissan. Is that correct?
Let me tell you, there is no customer who is easy, and nobody wants to share the profits that they have. So every customer is a tough customer, so is Renault Nissan, but we have left many businesses wherever there was no profitability.
Okay, sir. The second one is in last call, someone actually mentioned about some high-end kind of components from BMW. Is there any progress on that?
Oh, we are supplying to BMW for a long time now, and
No, I mean there is some kind of jump into the high-end kind of components for the BMW.
Electrical components.
That's what it's been mentioned in
Pankaj. Are you referring to the electrical components?
Yeah, I think somebody mentioned it will be. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, I mentioned initially that our electrical vehicle contribution earlier was only 2%. And now we are in the region of almost 15-16%. And the growth primarily has come from PSA and from BMW. Primarily from these two. And the next growth is going to come from Toyota.
Okay, sir. The other one also, in the last call, it has mentioned that there is one customer we probably may get into non-auto complex ones. Is there any progress on that?
Yes, we have submitted samples, and those have been approved. And hopefully, I think in this particular fourth quarter, I think there would be some sales in that as well. We've done some billing as far as the sampling is concerned, and also for the dyes that amendments that we have done.
So how much it will be in the revenue side? And this one?
This quarter won't be too much, but I think we are hoping that that will turn out to be a good new business.
Okay, sir. At least some 10 crores around that.
If you are referring to the defense, there is a lot of progress that has happened there also. And we had mentioned about a tender which is almost, I think, it's about 5 to 7,000 crores for over 10 years, built over 10 years. And the government gives you an order for 10 years. And that tender has finally started moving. The samples have been, we've just submitting the samples, I think, next week or 10 days time. Everybody is going to be submitting the samples for trials. And hopefully another, the trials will take about 2 to 3 months because the actual firing actually takes place in the cold areas and hot areas and other areas and humid areas. So hopefully the trials would get over in the next 2-3 months. And thereafter, that order should also be placed. We are very we are very gung-ho about that particular order.
Oh, okay. The last one is from, I say, like, I'm being invested in since last 12 years. But especially since last 4 years, like, we didn't see much of progress in kind of net profit. Because until and unless, because most of us, actually retail investors in Ricotto, the price won't go up until unless the net profit actually goes up, right? So it's basically, yeah, I especially as a kind of a really good size investor from the retail perspective. It's kind of a lost 40% kind of revenues pretty much everyone. So how you are going to improve the net profit? Gross is okay because the gross may be going up because of the inflation side also, because if the cost of the, you know, iron or whatever it is increases, the gross also will increase, right? Because it will actually calculate in the product price. So when will you see actual improvement in the net profit? Because 3 years back we made profit of 45 crore, but we are nowhere near to that in the last 3 years. And the net profit.
Next year you see the results. Next year you see a lot of change that will happen. And let me tell you that we are focused. We do look at the top line first and then also look at the gross margin. And but net profit is what we are actually focused on. Our discussion internally are always on net profit. It is when we are talking to the market people, they are talking of the gross margin. But internally, it is net profit that is all that we talk of. And those are the challenges that we have here. That's where the focus is at the moment. And you see a change coming now onward. You see, last year was exceptionally bad, primarily because of COVID, etc., etc. And now you see that since we are back to we see that we'll be back to good volumes and full volumes, and we see the pull that is happening with Maruti and the others. Like I mentioned earlier, in most of the components, we are almost 20 to 30% above the capacity we had actually created. In some cases, 40% above the capacity. And all of a sudden, we are surprised as to why that pull is also there. And we never created a capacity for those components also, that much capacity. So that itself will have a major impact on the profit. And these are all new components we are talking about. These are not the old components. So you see a change and... the lower and our focus, internal focus, is always PBT.
Okay. One last thing, like, just for my estimation side, when will you see like net profit of 50, 75, and 100 crores in like next 5-10 years? Like, when we would be able to see like these figures?
Well, I think you see it. You see the change next year and the year after that. Also, you see a major. The figures that you're talking about will probably be around those figures.
You mean to say like 75, 50, or 100, sir, in the next 1-2 years?
I don't want to be speculative, but we are internally targeting those figures.
Okay, sir. Yeah, that's it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. As there are no further questions, we have one more question from the line of Anand Bhatt from Agrahar Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Please.
Yeah, yeah. My complaint was that your IR has not been able to even get 3 people for a conference call for a company which has been 2000, having a turnover of close to 1600 to 1700 crores, what I felt was your communication to shareholders, either by way of quarterly communications or otherwise, has been lacking, because there is not one single institutional investor on the call. Should not the management spend some time and money going to Bombay or going to the institutions that matter, speak about a company which is doing this sort of a turnover, which is supplying to this sort of the various types of companies like Renault, Volkswagen, Maruti, and all that. And we are still quoting at 14-15 PE, even though we've been in business for donkey's years now. I think a change in perspective, either from your IR or from the company management who look at investor market pricing, if you have to raise money possibly 1 year down the line for a 200 crore expansion or 300 crore expansion, with this sort of a equity price, you would not never be there. Most of the Delhi Faridabad companies are all quoting at 25, 30, 32 P. Don't you see that there is something lacking in our communication to shareholders or to the investor community at large? I'm sorry to sound a bit caustic, but I just wanted to give the message over to you all.
No, Mr. Anand, thank you so much for the message. And we were regular visitors to Bombay and the other centers. And because of COVID for the last 2 years, there has actually been no travel. And but what you're saying is absolutely correct. I think we can start better communication by even direct communication with all our investors. I think that can also be done. And besides that, we will be again starting out the process of meeting all the investors and also the future investors in our company. So we will look at that. We've taken your suggestion. Your observation is absolutely correct, and we will make amends there.
So my only suggestion is, you are doing such a big project for Toyota and EV. There are people who are doing 50 crores, 100 crores turnover, and they shout EV everywhere. The hybrid vehicle of Toyota is supposed to be one of the exhibits for the world, and you are supplying to them. Then nobody knows about it.
Sir, they have point noted, and we will make changes there, and we will certainly come up to your expectations as far as communication is concerned.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shankar Narayanan from Seraphic Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have a follow-up question. I just wanted to understand. The EV part you said is almost 15% of your turnover, which means approximately, I think it's almost 60 crores a quarter. So which means on an annualized basis, we are rating at around 240 odd crores of EV business. Is that the right way to look at it, sir?
You know, we had mentioned this earlier also, that we will be crossing 200 crores this year in one of the one of our meetings. We had mentioned that.
Okay. Yeah. So, which means we are rotating at almost 250 crores right now, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in terms of margin profile, sir, that should be much better than what we currently make, or is it because it's still very small, you know, once we cross. So what is the threshold of turnover in EV when you start making, you know, really good margins, you know?
No. See, these components, what had happened was, now when we got the orders, I'll give you one of the examples. In one case, we were told that the requirement, annual requirement, this is for France, would be about always 50 or 60,000 sets a year. And there was a set of about four components. And when we started the production, they would not even pick up that for the first year. Then the second year, all of a sudden, instead of 50,000, they wanted 75,000 and then 100,000 and 120,000. So we see that change that is coming about. And then the investments were very consistent, and we had to do them again and again. Even in the case of BMW, what their initial targeted was all close to about 65,000, 70,000, because they were also introducing newer vehicles, and they were also not very clear as to how the demand would be. But fortunately for them, the government support was tremendous there, the subsidies that were given in Europe. Then also the pressure of CAFE norms which came into Europe. And that also put a lot of pressure on them to actually focus on the electric vehicles. So what we are supplying is now, is more than the capacity that we have generated, but we have to make consistent investments. And the margins are definitely certainly better. And let me tell you, the components are also tougher to make because there's a metal change. It's aluminum, all right, but the alloy is absolutely different. We had never worked on that alloy before, neither at BMW now, nor at PSA, nor at Renault-Nissan. And now, of course, we got a hang of it, and we are going full blast on those components. So it's been a big learning curve for us also, and these are for us, for BMW, for PSA, for all the customers as well. And we are using that learning for the Toyota project and the other projects which are coming, for the new electric vehicle components that we are picking up.
So by next year, what percentage, in the next couple of years rather, I would put it that way, what percentage will EV be? Will it go to almost
I'll tell you, there will be one issue next year. This year, the IC engine, the conventional engine, there has been less production this year as far as India is concerned. So next year, we must expect that should also come back to almost normal. And Maruti is saying that India should produce 3 million vehicles this year. Let's hope they meet that target. And next year, they're all targeting much higher volumes for that. So that will be a thrust both on the electric vehicles as well as also on the IC engine. And the electric components that we are supplying primarily to the European market and partly to Renault-Nissan in India, which is being exported to China. And next year onwards, we'll also be starting the Toyota project, which is again electrification, and that would also be a major input that will come. So then we'll see a growth in both of them.
Okay, so the percentage, it might not go up much, you're saying, but you're saying overall the volumes will be much.
Go up, the overall business will go up, but the percentage will may not go up to that extent. And we want to take the electric components to almost 25% of our turnover.
Okay. Going back to my old question on gross margin. So by next year, with the aluminium price correction happening, stability coming back, do you think we'll go back to that 47-48% kind of gross margin by next year?
Members of the management, Hello. We are not able to hear you. Please confirm if you're able to hear us.
We should be in the region about 30-35% next year. And hello?
Yeah, we couldn't hear you, sir.
I said we should be in the region about 35% and next year.
35% for what, sir?
The gross margin, the value addition that will happen.
No, because our gross margins are at 42% now, sir, and we were previously at around 50%. So I'm saying by next year, should we go back to 47-48% gross margins? Is what I'm trying to say.
One minute, please.
Sir,
7.5% from the RMC percentage. No, are you basing it on RMC percentage? Yeah, basically on RMC, because RMC is now just on RMC basis. You know, we are at 42% gross margin, and we used to be at 50% before, you know. So, will we come back by next year to 47-48% gross margin? What is fine? Just removing the raw material cost out.
See, please realize one thing, that earlier the aluminum used to be at 110 rupees, 115 rupees a kilo. And now it is in the region of 200 rupees a kilo. And there's an increase of almost 100%. Thus, in some special cases, 253 rupees a kilo. From 110 rupees, 120 rupees, we've gone to 253, is almost 100% increase. So we are, hopefully, the peak will not remain and this will start coming down. And you see the reverse actually taking place. But I don't see coming back to 120 and 105, 110, 120, 130. So that is one challenge that we have. But having said that, all the new components that we pick up, we actually do the costing based on the current metal prices. So that, you'll see the newer components in a better bracket than the older components, which were given to us, say, 2 years back or 3 years back or 4 years back. So you see that this will be a combination of both the components that we will be making.
So would we see at least a 300 basis improvement in cost margin next year?
No, we'll come to 53%, 52%, 53%. We'll come down to that level in any case.
Okay. So basically, that's exactly what I was trying to say. So from 57% raw material cost, it will come down to 52, 53, which means your gross margins will go up from 42 to 46, 47%. That is exactly what I was trying to say.
Okay.
Thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thanks.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Management members, please proceed with the closing comments.
Well, thank you so much. And despite all the turmoil that we had in the last quarter, we had COVID and et cetera, and despite that, my colleagues have actually performed. We are now on a much stronger wicket, and this particular quarter, this should be... Results should be even better. That's the fourth quarter I'm talking of. And next year onwards, you see a major change that's happening. And we are hoping to fall back into whatever we were used to do earlier and come back to the profitability that we used to have earlier. And we would like to show that. And hopefully the war should not take place in Europe. That's the only thing that that would be against us. The freight, the container shortages, that will keep on happening. We'll keep on struggling and fighting for that. That is okay. But the wars are one thing that can destroy everything and the economy. So hopefully everything should be okay and nothing happens in Europe. And hopefully the businesses will improve. Even in India, we see a lot of pull from the commercial vehicles as well as the car industry. They're doing very well. Two-wheeler. We have not been able to understand as to why there's so much the customers are not there to willing to buy at the moment. Is it because of the EVs which have come, the electric vehicle scooters which have come? But at the moment, the supply of the electric vehicles is so low as far as the two wheelers are concerned that that should really not impact the total sale on these. And hopefully, next year should be better for all of us. And in the two-wheel industry. Two-wheel industry also proves that, of course, the whole thing changes even more dramatically. But we are determined as far as the passenger vehicles are concerned, commercial vehicles are concerned, to meet the requirements of our customers and to ramp up the capacities as per the requirements. There's a challenge at the moment to really ramp up capacities with Maruti and with Kia. Again, they are being aggressive now. And hopefully... the car sales will carry on like this throughout the year. Now, I must thank everyone for taking out the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Essential Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.